Welcome back to the Prepare Podcast. I'm your host, Heather Hanton. Today we pick up where we left off in my conversation with Major Mark Litherland, Captain AJ Zimmerman, and now Captain Dennis Jolly. And a few things have changed since we recorded this episode. First of all, Lieutenant Dennis Jolly was promoted to Captain, and both AJ and Dennis received new appointments within the Salvation Army. So here we go, part two. I'll see you at the end. Okay, so we've kind of covered, now that you're married, Lieutenant Dennis, Do you find women's ministries kind of off your plate? Except the fact that you talked about having an envoy in place there to help do women's ministries. But what do you do when, you know, your wife is at home with the baby or your envoy is not available for you? Do you feel then like, okay, I can take up this gavel and do it? Or do you feel like, hey, I've been released of this now that I'm married? You know, do you know what I mean?
I'm free.
Yeah, right.
No, I know my women's ministries were a little sad that I was getting married because they knew that the woman was going to do women's ministry. So I remember the last women's ministry we had before COVID hit and we got married. I told them, I said, I still want to be part of this. I still love women's ministry. I love that hour on Tuesday where I could just not be in the office, not answer emails, and just talk and just be there. Like, that was very rewarding to me.
Yeah.
And I needed that in my spiritual walk, and I needed that as a leader, and I needed that as a pastor. Mm. But to answer, do I feel like it's off my plate? Kind of yes, because I mean, my wife does a fantastic job in women's ministries, far better than I. So she's great at programming. She's great at doing stuff that I wouldn't even think of. Our women love crafts. And before her, I didn't do a lot of crafts with our women's ministries. But now that she has come, she's done a lot of craft. And let me tell you, they prefer that over the stuff I was doing a little bit.
That's great.
So, I mean, if my wife, right now we haven't ran into it. We did once. She was homesick and I had to do women's ministry. Did it bother me? No. And it was just nice to kind of just to get out behind the desk, yeah. I guess, on that Tuesday.
Yeah.
But I mean, yes, it's kind of off my plate because she's better at it than I am. And she does a fantastic job.
Awesome.
So I'll probably answer the question. So in my first appointment, I did it solely by myself. And in my second appointment, I had, you know, Major Karen and Major Johanna who did it as well. And I almost felt like it was an intrusion because it was a younger group with Embrace. They met together for a specific purpose. They had pajama night and things like that. So it was just like, you know, it was awesome. Kind of a no boys allowed type
That's
thing.
That's good.
Did they put the sign up? No boys allowed.
they didn't have to. We got the message. But I will say that I made it a point to connect with them in other ways and throughout the week because I think that it's just so important. And I'm glad that I had that. My first experience of me running women's ministries because it gave me a different outlook in my future appointments. Mm-hmm. So when it came down to, like, you know, preparing a meal, I call them the Croquettes. So they're listening. I'm giving them the shout out, the Croquettes.
That's amazing.
They prepare the meal every Wednesday. And I was the person that went out and did the shopping. And so we had that relationship where, you know, where I was like, you know, did I do good? You know, when it came to like decorating for Sunday or for special meals and things like that, yeah. I made it a point to be involved as well. And also would flip it on the men's ministries as well. So we had a men's ministries in the Croc Center. And there were times where we took the cooking and we did the decorating instead of the women. We served to let them know that that's that whole gender role thing. Like, that doesn't matter. Our job is to support and to support the Corps in that manner as well. So So yeah, I definitely think the people, especially at the Croc Center, they have it down pat. Like, you know, we take turns, we are, we're in it together. So.
And Major Mark, has it ever been, quote, off your plate at any of your past appointments?
I was just thinking about that. Actually, no. Even though at about half my appointments, I had good women's ministry secretaries or home league secretaries, there was that expectation that I would appear to the group as well every night they met. So, okay. No, it's never been off my plate.
Wow.
No, I'm so happy to hear that. Even though maybe there have been periods of time where you wish or would have needed it to be off your plate. So I have always been married in my officership, but I have made it known to my husband that even though I'm responsible for women's ministries, it's just how we've divided, and I'm the woman, so that makes sense. That the expectation is that he would still show up on those Tuesdays or those Thursdays or that, because the women need to know that they're loved by him too, that they're appreciated by him too. And especially in that the older generation, we ran into a couple of times where the congregation still felt, even though the Salvation Army is designed where both the man and the woman are the pastor, they still felt that the man was the pastor and the woman was the pastor's wife. Mm-hmm. So in those scenarios, it was very important for him to show up and work the room and let them know that they were loved and appreciated. So even though it's the program has been assigned to one or the other, it still speaks loudly to the fact that it's never off any of our plates, whether we're single or married, man or woman.
Right.
People are people, and you need to be there. Yeah.
At my present appointment, we have both women's ministry and we have a growing men's club, which is unusual for me. And we meet at the same time. And you can tell the women's desire that the men participate in their program, because at the end of the evening, they'll come up. We have snacks. You must come down and eat snacks. Yeah. Doesn't matter if we had snacks up in our meeting.
Right.
We have to go eat their snacks too.
Nice.
I love that. Share the snacks. That's good.
So can you share your favorite part of women's ministries, your favorite story of women's ministries? And I'll let you pick the scenario. But there's got to be one story that really stands out that you're like, I need to share this because it made me a better pastor. It made me a better man. It made me a better leader.
So in East St. Louis, we have these things called white luncheons. So it's like when the women dress in all white, they go to a luncheon and we sell meals and we raise money for World Services and also for the program, the Women's Ministries program. And I didn't know, I'm not from the South, and I didn't know what a white luncheon was. I thought that was weird. they like showed me pictures and stuff.
Oh, no.
And it was like their tradition, but it was just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And so they're talking and they're planning it or whatever. And so I'm like, oh, so, you know, who's going to be doing all this, whatever. And they're like, you are. And I'm like, oh, what? So it became really clear that this was a project that was supposed to be for the pastor. Like I was supposed to like get it together, plan it and decorate it and all that stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
And so out of my element, I've seen it done plenty of times in Echo Grove and things like that, but actually executing and coming up with my own ideas for themes and colors and all that stuff was just like out of my wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learned about accent colors. Like you can't just have a white lunch and you have to have an accent color.
That's
so
right.
Yeah, it was just really interesting, but we did. It came like an intergenerational thing. So me and some of the boys from the basketball program, we actually decorated the gym for the white luncheon. So put the tablecloths on, rolled the napkins, you know, did the napkin design, all of that. And I like they enjoyed it and I enjoyed it as well. Like it was really awesome. I was in Walmart and I had this idea of using the clips for your, when you hang things on a line outside.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to like decorate it with the clips, but I couldn't really figure out how. And so I asked one of the boys and asked one of the women, and then we came up with this design. And it was just like really cool to be able to see God use me in a way that I'd never been used before, like this creative side that I never knew existed. It probably don't exist. God just gave me what I needed at the time. But it came together. I think the best, one of the best feelings was seeing their face as they walked through the door of what we had accomplished and what we had put together. It was like none other. It, you know, they were always proud of me. But like when they walk through the door and they're like, you did this for us. Wow. You know, and I just remember just being like so excited that that we got to have this time. So we took tons of pictures. We invited other corps and it was just awesome. I really enjoyed it.
That's great.
I got one. I don't know. There's been so many. I still go back to like our first meeting. After they didn't have it for a while, and just the three of us meeting, and then we started with three, and now we're up to 10. And just seeing the excitement of them bringing new women in or past women who used to attend the Corps, that really I got to see the excitement on them, and just seeing them grow in that.
Yep.
Like I said, my women's ministry here is basically my core. I have only two men in the core and the rest are women. So I think the proudest moment that they felt as a core, and I'll use that as a women's ministry too, was when this building was put up. They've waited over, I don't know, 15 years for this building.
Wow.
They've been promised this building.
Yeah.
And just to see the emotion and the excitement and the, oh my gosh, what are we going to do now? We got this new place, on their faces was amazing. And to be the officer that got to give them that, it really warmed my heart, because you can see that they, for a long time, their passion was kind of depleting. You know, they're stuck in this, we call it the pit now, of a building where we couldn't grow, to being in this new building where we don't have to worry about having ice at a function because we have an ice maker. And that's like what they got so excited over, that having an ice maker. It was really, really touching just to see that their passion was renewed and their vigor was like energized, and they're just ready to go. And let's get the community involved. We got this new building. We got a great lieutenant. Let's do something. So that was really, really awesome.
Yeah, God lit the fire for you. That's great.
Right. Right.
That's great. And for the women, renewed their revival. Revival, that's the word I was thinking of. What about you, Major Mark?
I've been trying to think about that. I've done this for so long, it gets clouded there. I think for me, mainly as an organizer and my schedule, I'm most happy when women's ministry functions well. And it doesn't just fall on me at last minute, where they can do their thing. I can walk through, but they can do their thing.
Right.
And the opposite is true for my biggest concern is when it can't.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Joys don't come all the time without some challenges to get to that point. So what kind of challenges have been real for you in your positions as single men in ministry?
My last appointment, I had three sisters that attended women's ministry. They almost went to fisticuffs one day.
Oh, no.
And I had to come out to break them up.
Oh, my word.
And that was the day they had visitors, too. Oh, who never came back, by the way.
Oh, goodness. That would be a challenge. Yeah.
For me, it's the when we go to do a planning meeting, and it's so easy for me to be like, okay, this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. And though it would be easy, but it wouldn't be, I want them to feel like they have a voice, and I want them to pick it because it's really for them. It's not for me. It's for them. I want you to enjoy it. It's just during the planning thing, it's just like, okay, so what do you want to do? Crickets. Well, what about this? Well, yeah. Well, okay. So let's dive a little bit deeper. Is there something you want to learn about? Is there something, you know, so the planning really is a challenge to mm-hmm. me. And we try to use the resources that THQ has provided. But like, we also want to get out of the building. We also want to like go places. And being a small community and a small core that doesn't have a lot of income, that can be challenging too.
Oh yeah.
When your people don't have the money to go out. And so then the core is expected to kind of cover the cost, and the core can't because we're kind of struggling. So we have to try to plan that way too. But no, the planning with the income, I would say, has been a big challenge in my core, being a small and not a lot of money.
Yeah, and that's an interesting perspective too, because as officers, as you know, as pastors, you move around a lot. You get stationed at various different cores that look completely different from the last one. I mean, Dennis, you only have the one to go with right now, but that's not where you came from. You came from Dearborn Heights, where women's ministries was a strong thing at that core. And it was a well...
And they provided for themselves.
Exactly.
I remember going out, and though my grandma was there, she bought my stuff. You know, thank grandma.
Yay, but Della.
Like, when they went out, they bought their own stuff.
Right.
My people can't afford that. So it's like, okay, so what do?
Exactly. And some corps do have the means to get those things done or provide or whatever. And other corps, it's like, you got to just go with what you got and make the best of it. So yeah, that definitely can be a challenge.
I have told my women that I've challenged them to, okay, so we're going out, save your money. You know, we're going to Culver's.
Okay.
As a core, I budget for maybe a few outings. And one of that is we do a Christmas party and we go out for Christmas. We do lunch. And that's one of the one things that I will budget for them. But it try to challenge them, try to be like, okay, we're going out, let's save your money. So
do you think some of that is women not wanting to be vulnerable in front of each other? Mm. I'm just trying to figure out, because I think this is a topic where most corps have a challenge. So vulnerable in their resources, their personal finances, or vulnerable when it comes to planning, vulnerable in that I like this idea, but so-and-so doesn't like this idea. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to hear, well, why would you want to think that? Or why would you want to do that? Instead of focusing on this idea of building relationship, I don't have to like everything you like to do, but I like you so much that I want to see why you're interested in this. And that's a level of vulnerability, of not being of self, or taking self out and giving it to others. And I don't know how to teach that. Do you have any
any advice?
I think that's difficulty.
Yeah.
Both in interests and finances. At my present one, we have some who can afford to go out, some who can't. So it gets real, they walk on eggshells when they're planning a trip.
You would think with that being a continuous thing that we need to address, that we would have some practical ways to take care of those. And it sounds like, Dennis, you've done a little bit in like budgeting and letting the women know, but what might be other ways to intentionally address that? We might not be able to solve that here today.
I think part of that is good organization and planning your quarter of events well enough in advance that everybody can plan for that, mm-hmm. save up to go for an outing. But and then you got to stick to your schedule.
Right.
You can't change it every time you turn around.
Right.
Or have the rainy day plan already planned. You know, if you're going out and you have a blizzard scheduled that day or it pops up that week, well, then what's your rainy day plan?
I just want to say, I think our situation was a little bit different. So they were more old school in my first appointment. So they actually paid dues.
Okay.
And I think they pay like $2 for lunch. So they kind of already had their own fund, the money that they put into it.
That's great.
So when we planned outings and events, of course, but like when they did outings, it was really just their money. So we didn't really have an issue with that per se. And just to answer your question about like the difficulties for me specifically, I think it's just like as a guy trying to figure out how to serve them. Mm. And when I think about being served, I think about like food, like cooking for someone, mm-hmm. and things like that. And that's not my strong suit. Like, I feel like my cooking might be a punishment for somebody instead of a reward. So finding other ways to serve them and to let them know that they are valued, that they're cared for. And I think that there were times where I missed the ball, and that was very difficult. But the ladies were so gracious to me, mm-hmm. like always. And yeah, and I really wish that I would have, in my younger years, would have figured out, you know, that you could, there's other ways to serve, and there's other ways to show your appreciation for them and to them. And I think that they got it, but I feel like I could have done a better job in hindsight.
Yeah, well, that's a perfect segue into this next question that I wanted to ask, and we can circle back. But what advice would you give someone starting out as a single man in ministry, having to do women's ministries?
Don't be afraid of it. Like AJ said, like when you go out of training, no offense, women's ministry is like the bottom of the totem pole to think about. You know, when I got out of training, I was like, oh, yay, I'm free, you know.
Right.
But then all the responsibilities of, okay, a budget, a building, you know, all that came, you know, and oh, wait, there's women's ministries. Oh, man, okay, I got to do that. But just don't be afraid to do it as a male officer. Just be vulnerable, being like, okay, I'm a male officer doing women's ministry. I don't know what I'm doing, so I'm going to need your help. Or you just get married and have someone else there.
Yes, that's awesome.
The thing for me was, don't be afraid to just to be there,
right?
Just to be present. Getting to know your people. I liked Major Jolene, what you said about you and your husband. Like, your husband made a point to go to women's ministry while mm-hmm. you were still doing it. And mm-hmm. I mean, I do that too with my wife. I stop in. It can be just a few minutes. I mean, and if you're younger, like me and or AJ, they treat you like your grandkids. You know, they'll cook for you. I haven't had that yet.
There's still time. Maybe once they hear this podcast, then they'll go, oh, that's what they need.
Right.
But you don't need them to cook your food.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
I'd echo that.
Yeah. I think I would probably say, like, don't treat it like a chore. It's not something that you have to do. It's ministry as well.
Right.
And I think that, like I've said in earlier, it's like there's so many opportunities for growth for you as a man to be able to, you know, listen, to hear their perspective on the word or on God or how things have worked out in their life. It will build you up. It will kind of help you see a different side of ministry and of God. And I think that that's something to be treasured, not something that you should just kind of trudge along and, you know, and make it happen. Yeah, and I also think, to kind of echo what Dennis said, you know, just get involved. Ask them what they want to do. You know, talk to them in that sense, because I do believe that a lot of our core have more women than men. And it is important that you have, like, their attention, and you know that they know that they are loved by you and you're mindful of them. I think that those things are important. I think it's for everyone, but I think it's more specifically, I think that the women need to be honored and need to know that they're loved and cared for by the pastor. So,
yeah, that's great. Would you say that we have a strong need for both men's and women's ministries in our church? And I mean, we've already kind of talked about it a little bit. When you say you have more women than men in your church, especially you, Dennis, only having two men in your court, and then you, is there more of an emphasis on one or the other?
I would say yes. And it's funny because one of the men have started coming to women's ministries at times. So the men have been asking that we do something.
Okay.
Like, they're bringing it to me. And that's really cool to see, because you see that their desire to do it. And so we're doing a breakfast at Perkins and the last Saturday of the month. But I mean, I think there's a strong need for both. Like AJ said a while ago, like each program has a different aspect and it has a different need. And I don't think it seems more. I think they're all equal, men and women. I think so. Sometimes the Army puts an emphasis more on women's ministries than men's ministries. But maybe if after hearing this podcast, they'll want to put more emphasis on that. But I think right now the Army puts more importance on women's ministries than men's ministries, because, I mean, it is an international requirement, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
So men's ministries isn't. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
This is a whole soapbox. So for me, I don't know if y'all ready for this.
I am. Hit us. Yeah. Bring it on. Let's go.
I do feel like overall, let's just even talk about learning styles. Like there's four learning styles, visual, audio, kinesthetic, reading, auditory. And I feel like a lot of times men's programs, we're more doers, like we want to get our hands dirty. We're kinesthetic. We want to be outdoors. We want to do things, whatever. And I feel like there is a need to have that as well in the core. And so I think that a lot of times our emphasis is on women's ministries, and there needs to be an emphasis on men's ministry as well. And, and encourage them. I think I'm not saying you need to, you need to dictate what it looks like, but I think it does need to say we definitely need to have it. Because I think that every area is different. But I also believe that we got to do better. I mean, I've been to women's ministries, women's camp, and I've been to men's camp. And women's camp is so much better. so much better than men's camp.
Yeah.
Like, men don't care. As long as we had some steaks and it was good, the food was good, then that's it. But
I know. I'll never forget Steve Merritt. I always used to say, men's camp is easy. You just give them, a hammer and some duct tape and sing a couple songs and you're good to go. As long as you feed them, you're good.
Yeah.
And you have nap time.
Right.
That's the thing.
And nap time. Yep.
Yeah. So, I do think that the Army definitely needs to evolve when it comes to the men's ministries. Like, there needs to be a more creative element, more, more doing, but also, having an emphasis on learning, growing, developing, becoming a man, becoming a kingdom man, those things. I feel like that is important, because right now I feel like the emphasis is oh, we have them, we feed them, we do a couple activities, we're good, and I think that right now we're hurting for men and good, strong male leadership. And even our young ones, I remember in my first Corps having kids that are 17 to 20, and thinking to myself, they need to have someone to build into them and develop them and get them to the point where they can be effective men in our society. Yeah. And we didn't really have programming that really fit that. We had things for, Embrace was great, and we could adapt Embrace for 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds. But we don't have anything of that caliber for young men. And so a lot of that stuff is just the Corps officer's ingenuity trying to figure out how to help them. So
that's a good point.
I definitely feel like we have to do better.
Yeah, I think that's a difficulty in the Army, because we all know, as Dennis said, women's ministry is required.
Right.
There's no choice. You have to have women's ministry. Even he said that's how his started, because the DC told him, you have to start women's ministry. We don't have that same prerequisite for men's ministry. It's an option. Now, here at Muncie, we have a growing men's ministry. And actually, what we do echoes down to women's ministry, where they want to do what we do. So it's a different dynamic here in Muncie. But yeah, the whole hierarchy of the Army, you have to do this, but this is an option.
Yeah.
So, and if it's an option in most of our schedules, we deal with the things we have to do, and the option will maybe come later, maybe.
Yeah, that's very true. That's a good point.
Now, yeah. I'm not saying that we want another thing on my list either. So careful how you share that.
I agree, Mark. I feel like I'm not asking THQ or DHQ to come down and say, you must have men's ministries, but it makes it difficult when you have because I remember one thing people don't realize is that, oh, at least I didn't realize, is that how many reports we had. Oh, my goodness. I got a special visit when I didn't realize that I had to have X amount of meetings or whatever from DHQ. And so it was just things like that where I feel like there were things that we were doing that was women's ministries. They were cooking. We were, you know, going out. And to me, that was just ministry. But they were like, you have to count this as women's ministry. You have to have X amount of times or whatever. And I feel like there's no emphasis on the men's ministry. So I feel like overall, I think from the territorial standpoint and maybe even the divisional, just saying, you know, you have to do something. But being super specific and saying you need to have X amount of numbers, I don't know if that is helpful. But I think that, again, being the resource that we're supposed to be at THQ, providing the resource, making sure that we have what we need, and then allowing the core officers to do it, I think that's the most important part.
I like what AJ said. It brought me back to how I was raised as a single mom. I didn't have that male figure in my life. Granted, I grew up at Dearborn Heights and there were so many great male role models there I was fortunate enough to learn from. But in some other corps, such I use mine, you know, there may not. I mean, I have two. Right. I mean, they're great guys, but I mean, they're only two. If I didn't have the men at Dearborn Heights, I wouldn't have been where I'm at today. And I feel like what AJ said is so right. We need men in the Corps and women, but we need men in the Corps to help youth who don't have a father. I mean, that's primarily who we all serve at times, our single moms. Having a great male role model who is deep in Christ to walk along these kids is so important. Like AJ and Mark said, there needs to be something, some resources that help the core officers kind of develop that. I mean, women's ministry does a fantastic job. Every quarter we get something. I don't know if that's still true. My wife does it now. Gets it. But I mean, why don't we see that from men's?
Good point. Those are valid things. Go ahead, Major.
So two thoughts. One, Heather and I have been blessed with those who have come before us when it's come to resources and the website, for sure. And just the volumes on volumes of the women's resource, specifically that book. And we often find ourselves, we try to keep our website built up to so that it's a library of resources. Right. And I continue to be amazed at how often we jump back into, where is this, where's that, or we've done something with it, and then I send Heather on a wild goose chase to find it, and sure enough it's there. And I think that's how programming needs to happen when it comes to adult ministries, in that not everybody's at the same place at the same time with the same needs, but we at divisional and territorial headquarters need to be ready to say, okay, you're ready for it, here it is. And women's ministries just has had a good team to have that material ready at all times. And I agree, we should do something better for men's ministries. And I think we've kind of talked about it a little bit, Heather and I, as to how we could help beef that area up. So, but it's that idea of we don't have to reinvent the wheel every time, but we need to be ready to use that sort of wheel when it's time to use that wheel.
Right.
The other thought I was having was about stereotyping. We think that women's ministries has to be fourfold, and it has to be crafting, or it has to be going on trips. One of the areas that we're exploring to break that stereotype is the outdoor adventure sort of woman, and partnering with the youth department and getting on board with that, because not every woman wants to be inside indoor fireplace. They want to be outside with the roaring bonfire around a campfire with a tent. And
that is so true, because like I had Juanita, who's in our youth department in Heartland, come up and do archery with our women.
Yeah.
Yes. Let me tell you, they loved that.
Oh yeah.
They love that they could shoot a bow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yep. Shout out to Juanita.
Yeah. And then on the flip side, that guys don't want to always build things. They want to sit around and just talk about scripture, or talk about share the war story, so to speak, of what they've been through. And But I think of the scholars, you know, some of the older gentlemen who just are very contemplative about life. I don't see them regularly going out and building things or being a part of the outdoor. They enjoy the good book and just being the scholar and that the wise leader. So we're challenged to break through those stereotypes and just be what people need us to be.
Yeah, that's good. This is all really great stuff, you guys. All right. Got a good joke?
Dennis is talking. That's why I see that it's happening right now. I'm glad it didn't happen before.
That's the Lord trying to
stop me now?
Telling that joke. Oh, dang it.
You don't want to hear my Muffin Man joke?
The Lord tried to mute you. You better stop it.
I would say one thing is just enjoy women's ministries for what it is.
Yeah, that's great.
So there was these two muffins in an oven.
I hate that joke. I used to tell Tom, don't tell that joke. It's dumb. But he would always get the greatest response. Anyway. Yeah. All right. Well, I think, go ahead, Major.
No, Jolene? I was like, I'm afraid to ask. I don't know the muffin joke. I'll have to Google it later.
Ask Tom. Okay. Just ask Tom.
Okay. Yeah.
You have to have Tom Hanton tell it because there's something in the delivery.
Right.
Because I've told it and not had the same response.
Okay.
Me too. I get up there. Everyone's like, that's stupid. I was like, what? It's a talking muffin.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just want to wrap this up as we close this out. I'm so grateful for the time that you took to share with us today, gentlemen. I know, Major Mark, you've been in the game a long time and you're still going strong. You still have a lot of really good ministry that the Lord is still using you in your where you are. And Captain AJ, you're kind of in the middle there, still going strong in what you're doing. Even in from the position that you are in, the chair you sit in right now, you still can have an impact on the women in our territory. And Lieutenant Dennis, as you're starting out, I mean, you're going on 5 years now, but now having a different role and perspective after getting married and now having a partner to come alongside you, that's amazing. But we just want to wish you well and pray for you. We want you to know that you are loved and appreciated, especially for your time today to talk to us about women's ministries from a man's perspective. So thanks, guys.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
No problem.
This was such a fun conversation to have. I know that there are a lot of single men doing women's ministries around the Salvation Army and even the worldwide Christian church in general. And we just want to throw a shout out to you all who are holding down that fort, continuing to, as AJ put it, honor women and let them know that they are loved and appreciated. Gosh, wasn't that beautiful? I loved how he said that. But I'm especially grateful for these three gentlemen who gave their time just to talk about their unique perspectives. And I know that they will continue to carry on their passion for women's ministries wherever they go. So that's all for today. Thanks for listening. The Prepare Podcast is a production of the Salvation Army Central Territory Women's Ministries Department. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We are Central Women. Also, feel free to check out our website, uscwomensministries.com. And we hope that you liked what you hear today and that you subscribe to our podcast. But I hope that this podcast has left you feeling prepared and equipped for tomorrow. I'll see you next time. God bless you.